Let's turn today to Matthew chapter 13, the verses 44 through 46. We've been looking at parables, and this set, while small, is some of my favorite that Jesus teaches us. If you take notice, the book of Matthew is the gospel where Jesus is featured strongly as a teacher. If you want to see Jesus the miracle worker, you want to read the book of Mark. If you want to see Jesus who interacts with crowds and who's on a journey to Jerusalem, you want to read the book of Luke. If you want to read a combination and have a pastor interpret the meaning, the theological meaning of some of that, you want to read the book of John. So scholars have talked about this chapter because it seems as though Matthew piles the parables on. In fact, in verse 34, you read that he told them nothing apart from teaching them in parables, which is something. Jesus uses stories, maybe even fictional stories, to speak something true about the kingdom. And we don't know if this is Matthew's way of arranging the stories so that we might remember them or that we might find them all in one place, or if this was a day where Jesus continued to speak in parable form. But we can imagine a whole crowd of people who were evaluating his sermons and saying, man, this pastor does not just say what he or she wants to say. All our pastor ever does is tell stories. And if you hang around the seminaries or if you hang around other churches, you oftentimes will hear that. People say, he only tells stories. Well, we see in Jesus using story as a very strong medium, as a very strong mode of doing some of his teaching. And one of the reasons he does that is so that it engages our hearts and our minds and our imaginations. We have to work harder when Jesus tells us a story, and we have to pay attention to what's going on inside. And so this morning I want to encourage us to do that. And so when Jesus gives us some of the images he does, he's not talking about pearls and treasures per se, but he's trying to help the congregation, help the listening audience to get to a spot of saying, well, the kingdom is so much bigger than words, it's kind of like this. And so today, as we engage our own stories and as we engage this one, I want to encourage us to try and find that sweet spot and to pay attention to what stories and thoughts and feelings rise out of ourselves as we listen to these parables. Let's pray and ask for the Spirit's blessing on our reading. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are here, and you are here. And today we have an immense opportunity to be together with you in this place to hear your word, to hear your stories, and to reflect on them, and to reflect on us and our world. So we pray today for new openness to be led, to follow, to be present with you. Thank you for being present to and with us. And our prayer this day is that you would connect deeply to our hearts and lives, and that tonight and tomorrow would be a different day because we've been here together with you. So lead us by your Spirit, we pray, as we speak, as we listen, and as we seek to live the gospel. In Christ's name, amen. This chapter has been called the Day of Parables, and we read 44 to 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a person found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought it. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. So the book of Matthew is a book where Jesus is the teacher. So if we were in a classroom today, and we're not, I would ask you to write this down, and I'm not asking you to do that. But if we were together in that capacity, I would say write this down, and because you probably won't write it down, I would ask you to do the more important thing and write it on your hearts. For your own sake, for our sake, and for the sake of our neighbors, here it is. Spirituality is how we make meaning of our lives. Spirituality is about how we make meaning of our lives. And since you're in a Christian Reformed church today, and many of us are Calvinists, and if you're not one, you're sitting next to one or in front of one today, you would affirm the idea that God has put in every human being a sense that God is real and present and available. In Calvin's words, God has put the seed of divinity in us so that we have a sense and a hole in us that only God can fill. And that every human being is on a pursuit to either avoid filling that hole with God, or we are on a quest to find wholeness and completeness and a sense of tetheredness that we cannot find anywhere but in God Himself. And this is true of every human being, that we all have this space within us that's God-shaped, that we're trying to fill. So this morning, I'd love to think about the implication of these two parables where someone stumbles onto finding something, a treasure by accident, and another one where somebody is hungrily pursuing finding a treasure. They're desperately searching for something that they want, that they feel they need. And in each scenario, Jesus is presenting us with people who discover something, some on purpose, some by accident, and then reframe and reorganize our entire life around that discovery. So that it changes everything, that whatever is found, whatever is discovered, whatever is unpacked, whatever comes to us by surprise or by intention, outweighs everything that we once held on to, and we let go of it fully to embrace the life of what we have just found. So whether accidental or intentional, both of the people in this story have things that are within their reach. And one would say, oh, my search is finally over. I found it. And you can see it in their eyes. And the other person would say, you will never believe what just happened. And out of that place, speak and live completely new, completely different, because it has been a transformative moment. They've discovered something, and it is the real deal. So because Jesus' best work is in our heart and in our imagination, I want to ask us to think about these things today. I wonder what it is in your heart and your imagination right now that's coming up, that what is it that you yearn to discover? What is it that you're yearning for? Or what is it that you're pursuing? How are you structuring your life in such a way to yearn for the discovery or yearn for an answer? Or what is it that you are finding yourself devoting your heart's energy to pursuing? Because whoever or whatever that is the very stuff of this parable for us and for the first disciples who read and heard it, or heard it on a hillside. Jesus tells stories to get the imagination going, where we think, what in the world is this story all about? And the more we dwell in it and orbit it and let it sort of seep into our lives, the more we begin to say, wait a minute, that reminds me of something. So think with me, or pay attention to whatever's rising to the surface of your own soul. And as I think about it, think about this with me. Whenever I've engaged this text in the past, I have foolishly chased after illustrations of Antiques Roadshow or Wolverine Oil in Grand Rapids with these amazing discoveries where people become wealthy overnight and never imagined it. And we find ourselves scratching our head in worship thinking, oh, I wonder what would happen. I wonder what that piece in the attic or that old thing from great-grandma in the basement, and what would happen if I won the lottery? And none of that is what this is about. It's not about that kind of richness or meaning. These are tempting illustrations that could distract us and would capture the surprise of Jesus' stories. But what they miss is the richness and the meaningfulness that comes to a person's life when they are filled with joy, when there's been an awakening, and everything is new and everything's different, and it's not tied to something material, but it's a different kind of treasure that outweighs everything. And this is why Jesus tells us stories, so that we might connect with our own stories and find ourselves asking ourselves, what is it that I'm seeking? What is it that I'm hungering for? What is it that I wish I would just discover that would now pull everything together for me? I wonder what that is. So today I find myself wanting to tell congregational stories. I think about the person, the working spouse who discovered not that long ago that relationships are much more important than work or money. And it happened because mom was taking the kids one day to bring dad a lunch at work, and it was one of the little kids who said to mom, when they pulled into the parking lot, is this where daddy lives? And when dad heard about that, had the discovery that something has to change. I've been raised with this script that a good father and a good husband and a good provider works his tail off, and work is the most important thing. And it's about securing a future for your family. And now, in the discovery of a moment, has said, everything has got to change. Everything's got to be different. I'm realizing the most important thing in life is not things. And you and I, if we've ever been at a hospice bed together, have never heard anyone say from the bed, boy, I sure wish I would have worked more. But it's a discovery that leads to a new kind of life and an embrace of relationships and family. I think about the person who always believed that faith was about the right set of beliefs and having them, and discovered through an intimate encounter with Christ that the reason to follow Jesus is not for a life after and not for heaven, but the reason to follow Jesus is about discovering some gratitude we did not even know we had, and living out of that gratitude a brand new life, so that following Jesus is not about, it's not about how you die, but it's about how you lived. and finds that it's a whole lot richer, more meaningful life to live in relationship with Christ that way than only thinking about the right set of beliefs for a hereafter. Is that life easier? No. Is it richer? Absolutely. I think about the person who's doing some searching, who says, I know exactly what my parents and my grandparents say about God and Jesus and the Spirit. I know clearly what that is. But I'm trying to figure out what that means for my life, what he means for my life, and the search is still ongoing. I'm looking, and sometimes I'm hungry, and sometimes I'm waiting for it to happen. And I don't know which one that I am, but I haven't found it yet. Or I've been searching for the right person who's a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and will I ever find the right person who will somehow complete me or who will somehow help me to let go of everything and invest myself in a relationship? Will that person ever show up, or am I supposed to pursue them? In Christian community and in the community around us, there are lots of people like that here and outside of us who are on a quest, who are on a search, who are looking, who haven't found yet. And that's okay, because their hunger or their thirst or their desire for discovery is driving them on and keeping them engaged. I think of those who have searched and are searching for a cure for healing, some of whom have found it, some of whom have been given it, who have said, I would do anything for him or her to get better again, and it happens. And they're filled with joy and find themselves in a brand new place. I think about those here and outside of here who have experienced a fissured relationship and said, I will never, ever, ever, ever be in the same room with him or her again. And suddenly the Spirit of God is at work in the family or in relationships or in conversation, and suddenly there's new yielding, and now I can sit across the table from them. I can be with them. And I've discovered that the energy that is released in reunion together is so much better than all of the energy of holding on to animosity and anger and frustration. And I've discovered a new kind of life. And then there are those who are searching for answers because a cure hasn't come, or because someone near and dear has gone, or who has been taken away, or someone has stopped responding. And that search and that quest for answers is very real with God, with self, with others. It's a reminder that in Christian community, this is a place for Kleenex. This is a place for bloody knuckles knocking on God's door over and over as we are either waiting for response or we're waiting to be given the gift of letting go of needing a response. In Christian community, this is who we are, because we are yearning for a day when that joy, that discovery, will outweigh the burden that once was. And we do that together, sometimes messy in Christian community together. Whether we are hungering or whether we are waiting to stumble across that discovery. So Jesus' stories intersect with our stories. Jesus words about discovering something or searching something can be the very thing that transform the way we look and see ourselves and look and see one another and look and see the world. Because outside of the safety of these walls is a whole world in need, searching to fill that God-shaped spot with something, or waiting to stumble across it, or saying, someone who comes that near and that close scares me, and I want to resist that kind of closeness because it's too intimate for me. And those same issues outside of here are the same issues that churn inside of ourselves. But the invitation is to continue in the quest or be open to the discovery so that in the being found, there's a reshaping of choices and reframing of our life and changing the way we see ourselves, how we are making meaning of our lives. If you were to ask my aging parents and my aging grandmothers who are still around in their 90s, they would all say, we were taught that faith is about believing these things. And as we enter this new world we find ourselves in, we are realizing that faith engages our life and our story more than just believing the right stuff. Jesus tells these stories to get at us from the inside, from the underside, because he knows our defenses are way too high for something else. And so my bid for us today is to be really clear with whatever has been stirred up inside of us today around what is it that we're searching for and what is it that we yearn to discover. Because engaged in faith and in pain and in patience and perseverance, that wrestling match with ourselves and with God and with one another is something that will grow us. But I think we have to know what it is that we're after or what we yearn to discover so that we can shape and reshape our life around that. If spirituality is how we make meaning of our lives, we have a lot in common with the world around us, but we have been given the keys to the kingdom to say this is what and this is who it is. And what comes is a joy that outweighs the burden. So the obvious question would be, how will I know when I find it? And if you listen to the text, you know, because at the bottom of it comes joy. Everything I held on to before, everything I knew before, I set aside for what is now here. What do you hear from Paul? I got this lengthy resume. I got all of these degrees. I got the best professors. I've got all of this experience. I'm the best Jew. I got the complete and full resume. And he says, when I look back at what it means to discover and be discovered by Christ, I count all of that as garbage. It means nothing because what I have found, what has found me, has changed everything. And that is the quest that we are on. The journey of faith, the God who joins our stories in their messiness, in their beauty, in their pain, and in their wonder. And the invitation to the church and to the world is to see the one who's underneath all of it. The one who has gone down into death, into resurrection, and into ascension, and holds all things together and invites us into that process of discovery. The joy outweighs the burden. Brothers and sisters, hear the good news. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Forgive us, O God, when we have settled for impostor treasures. Forgive us, O God, for those times when we have stuffed our lives with what people say, with what we have, with what we do. Give us the courage to learn and to keep learning. Give us patience and perseverance because there's so many choices and so many things that distract us. Forgive us for spreading ourselves too thin. On this day, we pray for the discovery that comes with seeking, the discovery that comes when something has been sent our way. Help us, we pray, to see Jesus in and through all of these things, because the world is your kingdom. Hear this prayer from our humility, our devotion, and our desire to live for you. In Christ's name, amen.